You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, theater fans, welcome and thanks for tuning in. This is just a quick heads up for everyone with warning triggers around this topic. This episode does contain conversations about rape and sexual assault, so please, please, please be careful as you listen through. Enjoy, and we will see you on the other side. Theater fans, one and all, welcome back. It is our final episode on this little run we have here with Jagged Little Pill. And today I'm joined by Aiden, who's playing Phoenix in the Australian cast. How are you going, Aiden?
Good, Josh. Good. How are you?
I am so excited to kick into this last episode. First of all, what was your journey to here? How did you get into theater? What was your introduction to the performing arts?
Well, I guess I've always been a singer. I've always been, you know, a singer, dancer. I've always dabbled in a bit of acting lessons here and there. So mostly my experience with music was just kind of singing. I would do gigs, I would play some shows, release music. And then in 2019, I got offered the role of a character named Harry in an Australian show called Fangirls, which has done two seasons around Australia so far, and I loved that, and it was amazing, and the cast was amazing, the people I met were amazing, and yeah, I just kind of really enjoyed it. And actually, after the second round of Fangirls, I said I wasn't going to do another musical for a while because I wanted to focus on my music, and then Jagged came up, and the role of Phoenix was on the table, and I was like, oh, look, like they've asked me to audition, I'll audition, I'll say what it is, but I probably won't take it. Like, I just auditioned and then ended up getting the part, and I was like, oh, I've probably taken now. Yeah. here we are on Jagged, about to go around Australia. I'm actually really pumped. I'm glad that I did take it, because I'm having a ball, and I think it was definitely the right move.
Yeah, 100%. With this music, what was your kind of exposure to Alanis and her music prior to the show?
Well, obviously I knew, it was one of those things where I knew the song but didn't know the artist. So it was like the songs were really familiar to me because I'd heard a lot of the songs when I was growing up, like Ironic and Head of the Feed and You Ought to Know, because my mom was a big Alanis fan. So I knew of the songs, but I didn't know of the artist. So when I went back and listened to the whole album, I was like, oh my God, I know this song. And then I'd listen to it and be like, oh, I don't know this one. And then I'd hear another one and be like, oh, I know this song too. What the hell? And like have like a faint memory of it from growing up. So that was my kind of, I wasn't too familiar with Jagged Little Pill as like a body of work. But then obviously as the role came up, I dove back in and listened to the whole album, like top to bottom. And it's just, you know, there's a reason why it's so big. And I was like, damn, okay, like that's why.
Yeah. Now you get the opportunity to bring that music to musical theater and put it on a stage for a whole range of other people that are probably in the same boat as you and me, that know kind of those main songs but don't really know of the entire album. Do you want to do a quick capture of who Phoenix is and Phoenix's place in this whole story?
Yeah. So basically Phoenix is the new kid in town. The Jagged is set in Connecticut. So Phoenix is the new kid at school, doesn't really have too many friends, and then ends up meeting Frankie, who is played by Emily, and she's amazing. And yeah, Frankie is kind of surprised when she meets Phoenix because they're into all the same things. Like, you know, he's an intellectual and he likes to think, he likes poetry. He's kind, you know, but he's also a bit of a troublemaker, like a bit cheeky. Frankie and Phoenix just kind of click and connect, and that starts to cause a bit of trouble with Frankie and Joe's relationship in the show, and it starts to cause trouble there. And then Phoenix is just only lives with his mom, and he's got a sister who's quite mentally ill. So there's lots of pressure there, and Frankie's a bit of a release for that. And then, you know, obviously Frankie's got her struggles at home, and Phoenix is a bit of a release for that. So it's very, I think Frankie and Phoenix's relationship kind of just takes me back to high school when like, you know, you're excited to go to class to see that girl that you really like, and, you know, just pass her a note or something. That's the kind of effect that I think Phoenix has on the show. It's quite light in amongst the heaviness of it all. Yeah. Phoenix kind of feels like a bit of a break from that. So it's not just constant, like, you know, the important stuff all at once, because that can be a lot to take in. So it kind of breaks it up. So it gives you a bit of time to then be like, okay, like into another heavy scene, like I'm ready for it. So yeah, I really love playing this role because it's not too far from myself. You know, not like the new kid stuff, but just being like a little bit cheeky, but then also like kind of a bit of an intellectual, I suppose. I don't know if it's narcissistic of me to call myself intellectual, but you know, I like to think from time to time. So yeah, I really, really love playing Phoenix. I think he's a really amazing character.
Yeah. Going from Fangirls and that show to, as you said, the heaviness of Jagged and everything that's presented in this show. What was your kind of process? Obviously, everyone else we've spoken to, this is their first show. This is your second one where you've been able to kind of get that under your belt. Did you approach kind of discovering Phoenix a little different to your like approaching Fangirls at all? Did you have kind of a way to come into it this time?
Yeah, definitely. Well, because Fangirls was my first musical, or at least, you know, my first musical as an adult, I would say. That's when I kind of did all the discovering, where I was with some people that had done lots of musicals before, and they were like teaching me about character backstories and this and that, and like what you can do to really dive into your character. So that's the time when I was learning how to do all of those things, like writing down, you know, writing down things about my character that I don't want to forget, and writing down from the perspective of my character, like as if I'm, you know, still acting and really trying to figure out who my character is. So that's where I kind of got those little diamonds from. So bringing that into Jagged was actually really, like, it was really nice to have that knowledge, because in Fangirls, Harry was like a superstar. So Harry didn't have too much depth to him. Harry was very much there for the sake of, you know, the story of the other characters. I was just there, you know, to be worshipped, I suppose, by the Fangirls. It wasn't too deep. I didn't have to do too much exploring to be a pop star. You know, it was pretty easy to just play famous. But this is different because I get to play a real kid.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got his own problems, his own struggles, you know, like I was saying about his mom and his sister and that. So it's a lot more fun to dive into, and to dive into some subtext and different choices I can make because of that. It's not just surface level. It actually goes a lot deeper, which is really nice as a, you know, as like an actor and as a performer to have that to tap into when you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that having this be my second musical, it's definitely helped like approach the character for me.
Yeah. Working with everyone, going from Zooms to in person, what was that like to kind of go, oh, you're actually a real person? Like, yeah, cool. We're back to this now after going through another lockdown and everything like that in between Fangirls and everything.
Yeah, it was so intense. Especially because when we started rehearsals, we didn't have everyone in the room either. We had lots of the creatives on Zoom. So Matt, our music, or I guess the music director from the States, was on Zoom in hotel quarantine trying to teach us. So there was latency when he was playing the piano and trying to get us to sing with him and all that fun stuff. And we had two of the cast members, Mags McKenna, who plays Joe, and then Caleb, who's part of the ensemble, were both on Zoom as well. So we were all forming connections and they were on Zoom. So then when they came into the room, it was like meeting everyone all over again. And the creatives were kind of dripping in one at a time. And our choreographer was on Zoom for the first week. So we didn't have our choreographer in the room for a week of rehearsals. So definitely a new experience for, I think, most of us in a rehearsal room with creatives on Zoom teaching you. And the amount of times it dropped out and we lost sound and they couldn't see us and then we couldn't see them. It was a nightmare. It's so nice to be to have everyone in. No more Zoom.
Yeah.
No more that. So yeah, very, very nice.
Let's go into your music for a second. We give you a little platform to promote your stuff. You've just had your new single drop and everything like that. So what's your process of writing your own music? Is it something like this? Does it span over years or is it something that comes to you quickly? How do you go about creating your own stuff?
Yeah, I guess it varies. Like I've written some songs in like half an hour and they've gone on to be like some of my best songs. And then, you know, I've written songs in 2 weeks and I'll be like, God, that's so bad. Like, why did I spend 2 weeks on that? Like, I can't make anything out of it. So like, it just kind of varies. I think it's all about headspace. Like, I find that I work best when I say, all right, tomorrow I'm going to sit down and write a song, as opposed to like, there's the off chance where I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and see if I can think of something. But like, I, you know, just for me, for some reason it works when I say, all right, tomorrow I'm going to block out like 4 hours in the afternoon and I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to put no pressure on myself. I'm just going to sit there and like, not feel guilty if nothing comes out. I'm just going to try. And most times, because I've kind of not put any pressure on myself to have to write something, because it's 4 hours, like, you know, I don't want to waste it.
Yeah.
Most of the time something will end up coming out of that, and then I can build on that as a whole process. So like, the whole song will, you know, usually will take, you know, a few weeks to write and then record and then music, yeah, and all that stuff. But yeah, from writing it, it just kind of depends, I guess. Like, sometimes you can write it in the day because you're so motivated and you just, ideas keep coming to you. Sometimes you can only write like a verse and then you have to come back to it tomorrow to see, yeah, if you can think of anything else. So it's very like, very fluid. That's my problem, is I try to not put too much pressure on myself anymore. Like, if I sit there for 2 hours and I get nothing, it's like, well, it's still 2 hours of songwriting. I just, there's nothing there. Like,
yeah,
I can't help it. I'll try again tomorrow or the next day. So, yeah, I guess it's very, very loose, but very, very creative. So,
yeah, I love that. And does that translate to then where you are now, acting and everything like that? Is that the same kind of headspace you try to bring to this whole situation?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think pressure is just like the enemy of performers and,
yeah,
and people that are creative, and like creative, anyone creating anything. Like, we all put pressure on ourselves, like just human nature.
Yeah.
But pressure just, yeah, it just kills the creativity. So yeah, I try to do the same thing where, you know, I don't put any pressure on myself on the stage. If I muck up a line, it's like, I'm a human, I'll get it right the next time. Like, you know, it's not like I don't know my words and my lyrics. So
yeah.
I try to not put pressure myself. I trust that I know the material and that I have enough hard work in the tank to be able to play this character and all that. And so yeah, I try and approach it with no pressure mindset.
Yeah, I love that. Now, Phoenix is one of the only characters that really doesn't have any ties to the major deep themes of the show to an extent, mm-hmm, but you're involved with most of the characters that do. So what's that been like for you to kind of see the major themes of the show come to light and be put into this creative space to go on stage in front of an audience? Like, we've been talking the last 3 weeks about it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those really cool things where we're getting all of these major issues that are the front of social conversation right now put on stage. Yeah. So what's that like as your character, but also just as a creative to be able to present these topics to an audience?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, as my character, it's really interesting because as you were saying, I don't have too many ties to a lot of the characters, really. I guess my main tie is Frankie, because I just kind of become, not obsessed, but like, I just become so wrapped up in Frankie. And then I guess there's like a minor connection with Joe. And but other than that, it's kind of I really put all my eggs into Frankie, because she's who I like. So Frankie's got the obviously her own problems going on with obviously the adopted family and you know, all those issues that I'm sure you can imagine rise there. So Frankie really uses Phoenix as kind of a shoulder and as someone to talk to that, like, not understands it from like a personal point, but understands it because, you know, he's an intellectual, like he gets why he would feel like that. So I like to think that Frankie sees Phoenix as a shoulder and as someone that will listen and understand and be there for what she needs. So that's a really nice tie to have to Emily. But yeah, when it comes to the other stuff, I, you know, obviously as a character, don't really have too much to do with it, but as a creative, I feel like it kind of affects the whole cast and even the creatives, really. Like, you know, our directors and music producers and stuff, everyone feels the heaviness in the room when we're performing a song or when we're listening to a scene. So we've created a really safe space for all of us to kind of tap in and tap out with each other. So we're like ready to dive in and then like the scene's done and we kind of, you know, you have to pull yourself out of it because you can't sit there because it's not real. Like it's a, you know, we're acting, we're sending a message, and then we can kind of snap out and appreciate that we've done that, but step back into our bodies for, you know, just for our mental safety. Like it's kind of very, very dangerous when you start getting stuck in that and you can't pull yourself out of that feeling of the scene, because it's just the scene. Like we're just sending the message so people can see it, and then we have to snap ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
You know, just as anyone else would. So it's it's really, really nice to be a part of a show that's you know, that's diving into these issues and that's finally being told in like a mainstream level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice to be a part of this movement and to you know, I haven't had too much experience with a lot of the issues in the show myself. So I've in a way taken a backseat and just been listening a lot and you know, kind of taking in what people have to say and learning a lot from other people in this cast that have had personal experiences with these issues. And it's been really, really educational for me and informative, and I'm learning lots. So yeah, and it's something that I really, really believe in. So I love being a part of this show that's just sending such an important message.
Yeah, I love that. Being able to sit back and watch so much of this show through rehearsals and everything like that, what's been your favorite moment to kind of just see come together that people can look forward to from your perspective?
Oof, see come together. I personally, I'm going to just ignore that come together, but I love singing Head Over Feet. I don't know if you've seen the show in any way, but Head Over Feet is a really fun number for, I guess, for Frankie and Phoenix. It's a really fun number to perform. So I love when we get to that number and I get to perform that. It's a bit selfish, but that's my favorite me moment. But like as a come together, I really love I really love No, the song No, which is the protest song.
Yeah.
The energy in that song is just insane. Like there's a lot of songs like that on the show, but for some reason, No, just really kind of, I really feel it when we're performing it. Like, really, really in it, because all our energies are just connecting. Like it's, I can't even explain that. Like people just have to come, like you have to come see it. Cause when you're in the audience, it will spread to you. You'll feel the combined energy of that song. And like, yeah, I get goosebumps talking about it and like thinking about it. So that's one that I loved seeing come together from the rehearsal room and now on the stage. It's just a different, like it's a different beast. So I love it.
Going from rehearsal room to stage and getting into the theater, getting costumes and doing runs and everything now. This episode is coming out about 2 weeks into the run.
Okay.
Where we are now, we're in rehearsals, guys, just so we're flashing back a month. what's kind of been like, I guess, what's been the good feelings for you, like getting, obviously coming out of a lockdown, getting back into a theater, getting back just performing in general, being able to be around other creatives in a purpose-built creative space?
It's been really nice. I mean, honestly, we kind of forgot what it was like to be working with people in the room and not on Zoom or, you know, not at all. It's really nice. And we are now in the theater, but we're still teching the show in the theater. So basically we're just stepping through everything really slowly for lighting cues, because we've learned the show for us, but now we need to give the crew a chance to learn the show. Like the props department need to learn their tracks to bring props on and off backstage, and wardrobe need to know when the quick changes are happening, because there's lots of cast members and we all have quick changes. Lighting needs to know where we're going to be standing. Sound needs to know where we're standing so they can mix the show. So tech is kind of like rehearsals for the crew. So we're just stepping through the show really slowly and doing lots of stops so that, you know, all of these people can do their jobs and kind of tie the whole show together. So if you ask any actor, they'll tell you that they hate tech and that tech is just so draining because it moves really slowly. Like we've spent the last, how many days is it? Is today Tuesday? So
yeah.
six days of work, and we got through act one.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is what, maybe like 40 minutes, and we already know it. So we've done like runs of it.
Yeah.
And it took us 6 days to get through act one. Because you just, like, there's lots of stopping and starting because everyone else has got to, you know, got to learn their jobs as well. We had 4 weeks to learn ours. Now, you know, the crew have the hard job. So yeah, it's fun. It's slow, but it's a nice break of pace from rehearsals, which went like this.
Yeah.
So it's very nice to
calm before the storm.
Yeah, exactly. This is the calm before. We had a storm, and now we have the calm, and now we're about to have another storm.
Amazing. What does it mean for you to be a part of this show? To be as just a person in this cast, being able to present these stories to the audiences that are about to come in, be able to present these themes in a raw, real fashion, just put it out there for people to consume.
I am really honored to be a part of this show. I think that it's going to do amazing things. I really do. I think this show's got big potential to just do some amazing things, because the message is told so, like, I always say that it's really obviously dark and a lot of the story is quite confronting, but it's told in such a beautiful way that you can't help but listen and take it in. It's not just like, you know, someone lecturing you about it and you say, all right, and then forget about it. It's the opposite, where like you're kind of just, you're not being forced to watch it. Like, it's just being presented to you, and it's told so beautifully that you can't help but listen but take it in. So I think that a lot of people, you know, whether they've had experiences with what the show is talking about or not, I think a lot of people are going to take a lot away from this show. So I'm honored to be part of the storytelling process. I just can't wait for people to see it. We haven't done the whole show like on stage and with costumes and everything like that yet, but I just have a feeling that like it's, the energy is just going to be like unbelievable, unmatched. Yeah. So
I wish I could be there for the first night. Like that first night, I'm buzzing for you guys. It's going to be so insane. Guys, that brings us to the end of the episode. That brings us to the end of our run with Jagged here for this little period. Thank you so much, Aiden, for joining us.
It's been
an absolute pleasure talking to you guys. I can't wait to see everything on stage and running. Guys, make sure, if you haven't already, there's only like 2 weeks left in the run. So you've got to get to jaggedmusical.com right now for your tickets. If you're missing out, you've got to fly to Melbourne. And for you Melbourne people, it's coming your way. So be there ready. But to wrap us up, Aiden, what is your favorite moment to be a part of on stage as Phoenix, getting to tell this story? What's that moment that you just love being on stage to be a part of?
I guess it's kind of a tie between No, which is the protest song, and then the final song. The final song is kind of like we've gone through this whole journey and then we come out and it's not like, everything's better, but it's like everything will get better. And I think it's really nice, because most musicals get to the end and it's kind of like, ta-da, like we just told this super sad story, but now we're all happy. But it's not that. It's more like it's real. It's, you know, we just told this huge story and we just went through this big journey, but it will get better. You know, we're on the way. We're learning. We're getting there, which I think has something really nice to it, because it's really relatable. Like no one just wakes up in the morning and is like, oh, perfect. Like it's a journey. So I really love being a part of those two songs. Because they're real. They're really, really real. So,
insane. That is the perfect note to wrap our trip off to Connecticut with. Thank you so much, Aiden, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And guys, we will be back next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. Goodbye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.